You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
In the beginning, there was darkness. Then, out of the void, came fire, smoke, Rodo. Fantasy excellence begins here.
This is your time.
The Rodo Experts in the Morning starts now.
Welcome back to the Rodo Experts in the Morning. Excited to have you listen to us wherever you may be, through the app, on iHeartRadio, on TuneIn Radio. It's Mike and Joe Pisapia. We're here for the next hour before we give way to the next show, which fantasy lineup lock. Our schedule just changed, so forgive me for not having all my ducks in a row, but I'll make sure I'll tell you exactly what's on for the rest of the day. But the schedule changed as of today. It's Joe and myself here for the remainder of the NFL season, which I guess technically hasn't started, but I consider it started as soon as they get to training camp, Joe.
Oh yeah, I agree. And everyone should give you a pass. And I don't think you should worry too much about, you know, getting schedules wrong or things like this. Everyone's still hung over from the fight last night, I guarantee it. So they think I'm Scott Engel, you know, they have no idea. Or George Kurtz. They're not even sure what's going on right now. They're waking up and saying, "What the hell's going on?" They're rubbing the sleep out of their eyes and like, "That doesn't sound like Kurtz. I'm confused."
I mean, that thing didn't get going until like midnight, right?
That's a thing. Like I was halfway joking in the studio. I said, "Boy, by the time we get out of here, this fight's gonna be over." And I got out there, you know, about like 10:30, because you know sometimes that's the case in boxing. You know, it starts. But yeah, I don't know what time it started late. That's all I know for sure. So I was still in transit most of the time.
Yeah. By the way, I'd be remiss and normally mention things like this, but I wanted to send our thoughts out to the people of Houston and the people across Texas that are dealing with obviously major issues from Hurricane Harvey, catastrophic flooding, tons of damage, and hopefully everybody out there is as safe as they can be. I know it's going to be a long road to recovery, but my thoughts and prayers personally go out to them.
Yes, absolutely. And let's root for that Texas team in the Little League World Series that had that comeback yesterday.
It was incredible.
That I did see.
I did watch that.
I watched that and I played up there and I coached up there in the camp league in Williamsport. It's a magical place. It's such a great spot, and to watch, you know, watch those young kids play ball like that and they have the heart to come back and hold that lead was just awesome. And of all the good stories with this, you know, with this terrible stuff going on there with the hurricanes and all the people still without power and all the other destruction that's going on there, it's a good story. It's a feel-good story right now, and I'm rooting for those boys today.
No doubt about it. So we'll turn our attention to football for the remainder of the show. I'll preface one thing for you. DeShone Kizer started off really good last night, Joe, although his numbers end up looking pretty ugly. There seems to be a connection there between DeShone Kizer and Corey Coleman, as it appears that Kizer has got his hands firmly on that starting job.
Yeah, and I'm not shocked that Kizer is going to be the starter. Like that concept doesn't shock me at all. When they drafted him, I thought, well, if you're going to spend the draft money for him, if you're going to go up there and you're going to say, hey, let's take a quarterback, let's see what he is, especially when you think you're going to be a bad team and you know next year's quarterback class is going to be really good. Why wouldn't you do that, right? Go ahead, give it a shot. The thing I like about Kizer is the swagger. Kizer's got that thing about him where he feels good. He's got that swagger about him. He'll make mistakes and he'll rebound from it. That's a good trait for an NFL quarterback, but he's still got a lot of learning left to go.
I think he's going to wow some people with his athleticism like he did last night.
Yeah.
And really be horrible at other times. I think that's what we're looking at. We'll talk a little bit more about him and the rest of the games last night on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Jeez, Huey Lewis. What's going on here? I'm turning back the clock.
I don't know, man. Yeah.
It's good stuff. I saw Huey Lewis at Jones Beach Theater on Long Island, not far from my house. And I got the tickets for free. My buddy couldn't go. Gave it to myself and my then 7-month pregnant wife. And he was awesome. He rocked out. He opened for Joe Cocker, and I had no.
Whoa,
may he rest in peace. So Huey Lewis just rocked out. He was awesome. We had seats like 8 rows from the
from the front of the stage, and I had no expectations going in, and he wildly exceeded that lack of expectations. Sometimes it's good, right? You go see a movie that you don't know anything about, or go see a band that you don't have any expectations in, and they totally shock you and surprise you.
Let me tell you something. You're not the first person that's told me that. You're the third now in my life who has seen Huey Lewis in like the last decade or whatever it is, and has told me, you know, I ended up seeing Huey Lewis, and he was great. Like, and I don't know if he's winning because like, the expectations are low or because he's really awesome. He's a big baseball guy, too, if memory serves.
Yes.
A big San Francisco Giants fan, I believe.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's get him on the show. Where's Consadori? Pete, go give Huey Lewis
a call. Yeah, producer Pete Consadori, do you have any ins with Huey Lewis and any other, or maybe any other 80s stars, 80s rock stars?
Clearly. Like, I have ins we'll like Collins. Like, I know them, or...
Yeah, well, listen.
Well, I don't know.
You got a book of contacts of some sort? Like Joe has the fantasy black book. Do you have the producer black book?
That's a negative. I know them. I know who they are. I know of them, but I do not have...
Well, that's a start.
It is a start. It is a start.
By the way, Joe, you should know, before we get back to football, Pete says, at least I know him. That's a win, because this guy is a young guy. He's a millennial. He doesn't know anything
before
1990. And
you know,
there's a lot of times that we swing and miss.
Forget it.
I know a lot
Florio
of old music.
Sample sometimes. So.
Yeah. I know Frankie Valli and the Four Seasons. I know the Beach Boys. I know all the oldies.
All right.
I grew up on
there
this
you
stuff.
Go.
All right. Well,
you go Frank Sinatra at all, Consadori, like a good Italian? Or
yeah,
what?
Of course.
All right. Then you're all right with me.
All right, cool.
50s Italian. He's down with 50s Italian crooner, Italian-American crooners. So, in any event, Huey Lewis was great. So that's the end of my story there. I had no
it's
expectations.
Square,
he was great. What am I going
to
say?
To be square. That's
he's been
all
playing
I
music
say.
For 40 years. Of course he's going to be good. Why would I think he would suck? In any event, we're back to the Browns. So you talked about Kaiser. I think it's a really good point that he made, because as I was thinking about it, I call it 6 weeks ago, when I was trying to sift through what's going to happen here, I don't think they ever really wanted Osweiler to have the job, but they're paying him $16 million. So why, if he goes out and wins it, they're happy to have him. I thought they trusted Kessler, and they would just have Kessler shepherding the beginning part of the season before he handed it off to someone. But as you stated, look, the only thing I quarrel with, it is a second-round pick and a pretty high one. So that is a lot of draft capital. So it isn't something that they should just throw away and be like, it's a second-round pick. We'll try him. If we don't like him by the end of the year, we'll turn the page and we'll go to Sam Darnold or whomever you want to pick at the top of the draft. So that's the only issue I have with saying, like, we can just throw it. We can just change our minds next year. You can't keep doing that with high draft picks.
No, you can't. And I think I think this is more about the class that's looming next year. You took a shot this year with Kaiser. And I think that that's perfectly fine. If you're the Browns and the defense is already... Let me tell you, that Browns defense is good. I don't want to say like, oh, it's... Yeah, and I don't want to like give that a caveat where it's like, well, but no. They're good. And they're going to be a good defense that's going to limit a lot of... I can't wait to see how they handle Pittsburgh. I really want to see that, because this defense is very talented. They're quick. They got a very strong front line. I really want to watch this Cleveland. I think that's like the sleeper defense of the year, like DFS, if you're going to throw that out there. That Cleveland Browns team at times is going to be pretty stout. Now, the problem is, are they going to score enough? And that's going to be the issue with that team. I was like you. I thought Kessler would be the guy coming in. I thought that was an absolute lock. Put him in there, you know, and then we'll see maybe Kaiser week 8, week 9, if things completely fall off the rails. But I don't know if this is so much as an indictment on Kessler or if they just felt like, look, we spent on this kid, let's see what he is, because if he is the guy for the future, then next year's draft is a totally different philosophy. And if he is not the future, then maybe we are looking at the quarterbacks in round 1 again, and some of those guys that are going to come out this year. Osweiler, I don't think you could have thought anything of him. I really don't. I mean, part of it was how rough that offense is. As a Patriots fan, I know the Bill O'Brien offense is not going to be an easy one to grasp. I didn't think he would struggle with it to the degree he did, but I think it's just wiped his confidence out. So, you know, remember that trade when it went down, Mike, what the quote was about the trade?
Mm-hmm.
We are so excited to get these draft picks, blah, blah, blah. And And we hope Brock Osweiler will compete for the job.
Yeah, basically
he's such an athlete.
Yeah, basically didn't mention him. They just paid $16 million for a second round draft pick. It's effectively what they did.
Brutal.
So so DeShone Kizer goes 6 of 18. He started off well, but finishes 6 of 18. He threw a pick, looked pretty good, obviously, at times. And it's what I said earlier. I think he's really going to wow people because the athleticism isn't really in question. It's just his maturity as a player. And we'll see. It happens with a lot of rookies, but I think you're going to see some pretty low lows from Kizer before things get better, if they do. Jameis Winston last night, 17 of 27, 200 yards, throws a pick to one of the rookies that you were talking about on the Cleveland side, Joe, and that was Jabril Peppers, who's an electrifying player. I think in IDP leagues, Jabril Peppers is an interesting play, but I'd want to have return yardage be a part of that. I'm in an IDP league where return yardage does count. Peppers is likely to return both sides of kicking game right now, kick returns and punt returns. That could change, obviously. Those types of things change pretty rapidly, but I do think Jabril Peppers is an exciting guy, but let's go with Jameis Winston for now. 17 of 27, 200 yards. He is really looking the part of a guy that's going to take the next step, but you still have these killer interceptions at times, Joe.
Yeah, and that's going to be the hang-up. Until he gets that under control, that's really the thing that's going to hold him back from taking that next level. And I think if you're going to make mistakes, make them in the preseason as much as you can and try to figure things out. And I don't know if you've watched any Hard Knocks, but it was one of the things that, I think it was the first episode, too, where they were, his coach was hammering him about it, and I think he realizes that. I think the thing you like about Winston is, and you see it in that show too, he's a leader. And I think that that's something, that intangible quarterback quality he has, where he's there with the guys in the huddle. You feel like they're buying into it, and that's a positive. Now, eventually they'll stop buying into it if he keeps turning the ball over, and that will turn on him eventually down the road. But I think that part of this will be how good the running game and how they can get that on track. I wish they would have a little bit more stability with that. I think part of the reason why you see him make mistakes is because sometimes he's making throws that he shouldn't have to make because he's in situations where he shouldn't have to be making them. And you want to try to trim that down. It's why Tom Brady has such success, is because he's always playing with a shorter, field. He's playing with, short third downs and a long one. So there's less room for error with that you create for yourself. And if Doug Martin becomes as good as he's looked in preseason when he comes back from that suspension, maybe that cures it. Maybe that helps. And there's a little bit more support there, and that changes the way the defenses have to look too and how they have to shape up against Winston. So for me, I'm looking at Winston. I'm like you. I buy into the talent. I buy into the upside. I'm a Winston fan. I definitely want to see him just trim back those bad decisions a little bit more this year.
Yeah.
And I think you're looking at a slam dunk quarterback one for sure with upside.
I think Jameis, I think he's the real deal. I'm not going to sit here and tell you that he's ever going to be in that elite category that some of the guys like Brady and Rodgers and Breeze have put themselves in from a fantasy standpoint. But I do think Jameis, as you said, Hard Knocks, it's a TV show, so you can only take so much from it. But he doesn't have bad body language for the most part. He knows when he makes mistakes. I think he appreciates the fact that Dirk Koetter coaches him pretty hard and is teaching him a lot more about the position. So I can appreciate that. I always thought he was comparable to Ben Roethlisberger from an ability standpoint. Roethlisberger is obviously a little bit bigger, but we have a similar kind of style, athleticism, but not a guy that wants to run. He can avoid the sack, but he's not looking to take off at every turn. He's big enough and can make enough throws that I think he'll be really productive. He just does have to avoid these interceptions, which was a problem for Roethlisberger earlier in his career, always trying to make that play.
Too. Winston's in really good shape this year too. And I think that you can see he's taking it seriously. There's nothing worse than the guy with all the talent that doesn't take it seriously. We hammer him on this network all the time, guys like that, who just let themselves go or, don't take enough physical fitness or don't seem to care or don't want to improve year over year. I don't get any of that with Winston. I feel like Winston's completely committed. He's a guy that wants to get better. I think the Roethlisberger comparison is actually a very good one. And I do think, statistically speaking, as he and Evans continue to mature together, you're going to see some huge seasons out of those guys.
Yeah, no doubt about it. You mentioned Doug Martin earlier. Obviously, he's on the going to be on the shelf when the regular season starts. Jaquizz Rodgers, player that we expect to take over for him in that starting role to start the season, to begin the season. 10 carries for 34 yards. Duke Johnson, 3 carries for 43 yards. Isaiah Crowell, 11 carries for 40 yards. Corey Coleman, 4 catches for 66 yards. Chris Godwin, 4 catches for 56 yards. We'll talk about those wide receivers after the break, and I will finally talk about the Jets and the Giants after this. Back on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. It's Mike and Joe. Again, hit us up on Twitter at FNTSY Radio. I'm at Mike Blewett. Joe is at Joe Pisapia 17. Let me spell it for you. That's Joe Pisapia 17. So there you go on Twitter. Hopefully, you're listening to us on the app, the Fantasy Sports Radio app. And if you're not, please go to FNTSY Radio. Enter that on Google Play or on the iTunes Store. Download the app. Listen. Download for free. Listen for free anytime, anywhere, any place. Beyond that, we have the Roto Experts Exclusive Edge Draft Package available now. I actually am looking at it, looking at some of the rankings that are in there. Rankings, cheat sheets, projections. I have offensive line rankings in there. Kick returner rankings I did just a week or two ago. So lots of stuff there to get you prepared for your draft in these last 2 weeks. Because, Joe, as much as we've done a bunch of drafts already, the real meat of the draft season started probably this weekend.
Yeah, and it should. Let me reiterate that. Mm-hmm. I mean, what we're doing out there on the front lines as analysts is trying to help everybody. We sort of, you know, in a lot of ways, we shape ADP. I mean, all of us here at the network and people who are listening to the programs, but also people who are reading stuff on Roto Experts, people reading the Black Book, all that. So we're shaping people's concepts of value about players and positions. And I think that's our bad luck sometimes because we're stuck with things before injuries happen, like the Edelmans, like the Wares, like all the stuff that's gone on the last couple of weeks, all these different, you know, guys who have changed in terms of now Thomas Rawls is going to be a thing again, potentially, and Nettie Lacy's terrible. Well, I could have told you that 3 weeks ago or 3 months ago or possibly a year ago. But right now, this is when you should be drafting. You should be drafting this weekend and next weekend. You know, those are the times where you should, because you have a much more definitive idea of who's in, who's out, who's healthy, who's not. And at least you're starting in a good place. My God, there's going to be so much bad news that's going to come for all of your football teams. You're going to have so many injuries and so many other issues. To start in the hole and lose players before the even season begins that you've drafted is just, it's enough to make you want to jump off the top of a very tall building, Mike.
Yeah, Jake Seeley, who's obviously you work with regularly on Target Fantasy Football, he rails against the early drafts. But the fact that he's an expert, he's stuck between a rock and a hard place. He's got to do some. But I think if Jake had his druthers, he would probably just do one draft a day in the last 2 weeks leading up to the season and do it that way. So there are risks that come with it. But, you know, obviously the Edelman thing and the Spencer Ware thing happened on Friday. And some of you may have dodged that bullet in your drafts. But let me talk really quickly about the couple of wide receivers that we saw last night. One was Corey Coleman. I haven't really been on the Corey Coleman bandwagon, mainly because I didn't know who was going to be the quarterback. I think I would probably stay off it because DeShone Kizer is the quarterback. But if they have a rapport and he's their number one guy, he could just be valuable by way of his targets.
Absolutely. It's very possible. I don't know if I'm ready to get there quite yet. I think that's the whole thing with this. You know, you see stuff in preseason games, and that's great, and sometimes you're just picking apart where they see a weakness in a player, where a player, you know, on the defensive side gets hurt, or, you know, and they notice a weakness and they pick it apart. So let's not overdo too much of the thought process of Coleman all of a sudden shooting up draft boards, but I think it's absolutely a positive, and it's a guy that needed a positive, because I think right now I don't know about you, Mike, but I kind of felt like Coleman's value is almost in limbo. It was like this weird in-between where people didn't know what to do with him. So mm-hmm. I think last night was a very positive step forward for him.
Yeah, and he's ranked around guys, which I think you could probably apply that same moniker to or that same label to. He's ranked 46th on Fantasy Pros and PPR formats, according to the experts. He's one in front of John Brown, who we highlighted earlier. He's one behind Adam Thielen, a couple behind Jordan Matthews, and a couple in front of Corey Davis, guys that we like, but we're not really sure now. I mean, Jordan Matthews is dealing with an injury and a new team. Adam Thielen, I actually kind of like him. If he's my fourth wide receiver, I think he sees a wealth of targets just based on volume. I think we can see that. And we saw last year, if Sam Bradford did nothing if not throw safe passes. So you could see a lot of completions out of that. Corey Davis, explosive, but a rookie. And a team that's very run heavy. So exactly how much fantasy value do you see out of him this season? So a lot of questions with a lot of those guys.
It's a weakness of mine. Corey Davis is a weakness of mine because, you know, I watch him and I see a lot of T.O. in him. And that's a good thing. And, you know, we talked about Odell Beckham a couple of years ago when he came into the league, right? And he missed time and then he came in and he basically won people championships. I know it's a run heavy offense, but Mariota made great strides last year, and if Corey Davis has a similar, not quite same, but similar impact, it would not shock me, and I got lots of Corey Davis shares.
Yeah, but to make that comparison, Terrell Owens in his rookie season had 35 catches for 520 yards and four touchdowns. Now, Jerry Rice is on the other side of the ball there, well, and certainly they don't have that, but I only highlight that to say Corey Davis could very well be him. I just get really scared of rookie wide receivers, and I'm not going to invest heavily in them.
And I can understand that. I understand the hesitancy to do that. I think where you're taking, I've seen him go further than that group in drafts. I have. And I've seen Rashard Matthews fall almost to a comical place. That whole wide receiver core with Decker as well, you throw him in the mix, I think they're vastly undervalued. It just as a whole. And people say, well, I don't know which way to go. Well, guess what? All three of them can be useful. And they can all be useful at different points in the season, too. So if you end up owning two of them or some kind of situation arises like that, it's not the worst thing in the world. So don't shy away from taking talent on the board. Don't start worrying about bye weeks. Don't stop. Just go get talent. Go get the best value you can. Go get the guys that you think are going to impact. And then worry about everything when you get there. Worry about week 9 when you're in week 9. You know what I mean?
I totally agree. So where do you expect Corey Davis, since you brought him up, or I brought him up, but you commented on him. Where do you expect him to fall in line of receptions on this team? Is he first in receptions on this team? Do you put him behind Delanie Walker, Rashard Matthews? DeMarco Murray had 53 catches last year. So how do you expect him to fall in line, number of receptions on that team?
It's tricky because we, you know, when he comes back and how well he gets integrated, that's going to be the tricky thing there. But I would say when all is said and done, when we're sitting here doing this same show come week 10, he's the guy that we're most excited about. And I say that from the touchdown standpoint. I say that from the upside that he has. And I'm kind of like you, Mike. I certainly want to make sure that everyone listening understands, too. Mike is right. He's 100% right. Rookies are not usually what you should be running and overpaying for and, you know, going crazy about, because oftentimes they're disappointments. But every now and then you do get those special talents. And you mentioned a great point there with T.O. early on in his career. Part of that reason, too, is a very different game. It was a very different game for rookies, too, how they were allowed to be worked in. If T.O. came into the league now, I don't think that would be the case because it's such a wide-open game. It's a very different game in terms of how the secondary is allowed to play you, too. So I think T.O. would have had a whole different set of rules for him here. I would say that I still look for Matthews and Decker to have more receptions than him total when all said and done. But if you're asking me in the second half of the season which guy I think is going to be the most fantasy productive, I think it's going to be Davis. I really do.
So Davis could be the guy that you want as you enter the fantasy playoffs. On the flip side of that, Chris Godwin has a decent outing last night, the 4 catches for 56 yards. He's in a lot tougher situation. Jameis has a lot of targets. Possibly the most heavily targeted player in the league, again, will be Mike Evans. You have DeSean Jackson, who adds a lot. We talked about Doug Martin and Jaquizz Rodgers earlier. We have a nebulous tight end situation with Cameron Brate and O.J. Howard, which could be a push as far as how those guys are used. Can Chris Godwin have any value this year, or is that a guy that is maybe a late-round flyer for you in case somebody goes down?
In deeper leagues, like a 14-team league, maybe you want to think about him. But, you know, you talk about the DeSean Jackson addition. I think that's, you know, that's the secondary guy, clearly. I think Brayton and Howard eventually, too, will work their way in. I think it's also a positive that Howard's out there and pass blocking and doing all stuff. He's on the field more, because the more you're on the field, I think the more opportunities you have to build chemistry. Now, he's going to have to build that chemistry because Brayton already has it. And the trust that Winston needs out of his tight end, Brayton already has it. But I think the fact that Howard is going to be seeing a lot of playing time because they like his blocking ability, that's a positive for him long term. It might not seem like it right now, and people are kind of frustrated, I'm sure. Those, you know, keeper league dynasty owners go, oh, man, he's just going to be blocked. No, don't worry about it, because he's going to be integrated into the offense. You wait and see. I think that that's, you know, Godwin's a guy that I just, right now, I can't get too excited about. In this game, though, the one thing I did like to take away is Duke Johnson running healthy, too, because that's another guy in PPR leagues that I think in terms of running backs that is a steal in the later rounds. I don't think he's getting nearly as much attention as he should be.
Yeah, I think we talked a lot about Isaiah Crowell on this network, and Duke Johnson has probably gotten short shrift. He's a guy that can easily catch 50 passes or more, so somebody to look at as a depth running back in PPR leagues. Jets and Giants, we're going to talk about a little bit about it now, and then we'll continue it through the break. Eli, 7 of 14 for 121, throws a pick. Bryce Petty, 15 of 18 and 3 scores 250 yards, so it looks great. He has a perfect passer rating, but it wasn't entirely against the number one offense, because Christian Hackenberg was doing that and not doing that very well. He goes 12 of 21, 126, two interceptions. He throws a touchdown late because he came back in because Petty got hurt. So Bryce Petty's numbers look amazing. Do you expect him to now be the starter, or they're just resting McCown and these guys can battle it out for second place?
Well, I think the injuries are a little scary right now, what he's talking about that. So right off the bat, that concerns me, but it's probably McCown. Now, how long he lasts, historically, it's not very long, so we'll have to worry about that. I like how you finally got to this game. It was like the broccoli that you left on the plate. You waited all this time.
Got to do it to eat my dessert.
We're going to eat it.
Like I had to do it.
Yeah, pretty much. But look, in this game, I think the two positives I take away is Shepard on the field is positive, and I think Matt Forte on the field is positive. So from fantasy standpoints, late round picks, that's good, and if you've already drafted one of them or both of them, I think you feel good about, okay, we're getting closer to them being useful and healthy in some capacity, and we'll see how long it lasts, but I think that's the biggest takeaway from this game.
Matt Forte took a safety, so that was fun. Jason Pierre-Paul just destroyed that offensive line. We'll talk a little bit more about this game after the break. It's Mike and Joe on the Roto Experts in the Morning. It's a little bit more Huey Lewis. It's like a Huey Lewis themed show. This will happen once in a while. I think Huey Lewis, like that sports cassette, was one of the first ones I ever purchased. Dating myself, but that was like Michael Jackson's Thriller and Huey Lewis sports. Just the timing of it, you know, Back to the Future, all that
That's
stuff.
That's a good question, though.
Yeah.
Isn't it like the first album you remember buying?
Yeah,
as
I think
a
it
kid,
was Thriller. Or? I think for like my 9th birthday, maybe something like that. 10th birthday, something like that. In any
way, I'm not that far away from you. I think I want to say it was something like Purple Rain was my first.
Yeah,
like
that was in the mix.
Purple Rain.
That was in the mix.
Yeah,
certainly.
Yeah.
Okay, so we talked a little bit about Giants Jets. I think you're right. What you want to pull out of that is Sterling Shepard. Bilal Powell goes 4 catches, 110 yards. He had an 85 yard. Touchdown. So good news for Bilal Powell fans, Bilal Powell owners. He's currently going RB2 range, end of the RB2 discussion. I'm so concerned about this offensive line and the offense in general that I've backed away from the Bilal Powell situation. I understand what the value is. I just get worried about there being so few touchdown opportunities and this team constantly stalling on drives. I did the offensive line rankings. I have them ranked 32nd because, and by the way, I feel bolstered by that because 2 days ago, their offensive line coach was asked how many of the starting 5 offensive line positions are up for grabs, and he said 5.
Well, it's going to be a long year, and you're right, the touchdowns aren't going to be there. I think Bilal Powell's value is in the PPR, and people, you know, will accept that. The touchdown totals are going to be hard to come by. I mean, it's just a fact. They're going to have trouble moving the ball, and if and when McCown goes down, if Petty, I mean, I don't think you expect Bryce Petty to go out there and throw three touchdowns, and, you know, and if he's hurt now, that's bad, and Hackenberg's a complete disaster. So if you're a Jets fan, I mean, I think you're happy in a way because you understand what you're looking for, which is you're trying to get a franchise quarterback finally for the first time in ages. Maybe since Joe Namath, I guess that's the first time you could say they would have had a franchise quarterback instead of trying to patchwork it together and just a bunch of failed kids throughout or a bunch of failed retreads over the years. And I think right now, it's going to be brutal. I don't own any Jet shares. I know people were high on Anunua until he got hurt as like a late round kind of sleeper guy. I wasn't feeling that too for the same reason you talk about. Touchdown upside. Where is it? I don't see it. I'm not buying this whole Austin Safarius Jenkins thing needs to do. If ASJ plays well, that's great. Good for him. I'm happy for him. But he's not going to be fantasy relevant. So let's just... It's New York, so people want to talk about stuff, and the media capital of the world is going to talk about stuff and overhype things. Don't let that seep into your brain. No Jets. None. Don't do it.
Yeah. Here's what I'll say. I think because of the manner in which they've... And they can say they're not tanking, and that's fine. I don't really care.
Sure.
It's similar to what the 76ers did in basketball, where, like, look, these players are going to play as hard as they possibly can, but we're going to make them so bereft of talent on the offensive side of the ball that they're not going to really have a chance to win. So they can play as hard as they can. The coaches can coach as hard as they can, but there's so little talent respectively compared to other teams on the offensive side of the ball that it's just going to be a low number of points being scored every week on average. I think the defense obviously has some incredibly talented players between Williams, who got hurt last night, but it's not serious. Mo Wilkerson, Sheldon Richardson, Jamal Adams. I mean, you got some Pro Bowl caliber players on there. But ultimately, I just think that's where you're going to struggle. But the one thing I'll say about the Jets offense, so I think Robbie Anderson could see enough targets there to be relevant, though, Joe.
Maybe. And that's the next name up, and that's I still say a little bit of wishful thinking. Yeah, he'll see enough targets. But I'm hoping that somebody's actually throwing it to him and not actually, you know, the defensive backs. I think that's the problem. Yeah, targets will be there. Receptions, okay, I hope so. Probably, yes. Will there be garbage time? Probably. But I think it's all a lot of wishful thinking that you think some of these guys are going to be useful and relevant. Now, look, the cost on Robbie Anderson is not much. The cost on Forte is hardly anything, and I get that, but... So basically what you're saying is, you know, for the Jets, the Jet fan, you want them to trust the process? Is that what you're saying?
Pretty much. I would tell them to trust the process. This coach won't be around to see the page turned. There's enough quarterbacks that they can in the draft next year that they will be able to get some value. Everybody's saying the suck for Sam thing, and that's fine, but Darnold isn't necessarily coming out, A, and B, there's other guys that may grade out as well as him by season's end. I don't see it happening personally. I think Darnold's the best of the group, but we shall see. There's a lot more football to be played. So let me turn the page to a game that it was actually entertaining that I didn't get a chance to watch. I only saw highlights of, but Derek Carr takes the L against the Cowboys, but Carr looked great. 13 of 17, 144, two touchdowns on the opposite side of the ball. Dak Prescott, 11 of 14 for 113 and a touchdown. Cooper Rush, who's been the depth quarterback for them, was 12 of 13 for 115 and two scores. He's been incredible this preseason. So, anyway, we got Carr, we got Dak Prescott looking like midseason form, certainly something that fantasy fans want to hear.
Yeah, and the other thing of this is Alfred Morris now, so people are, you know, he had a good game. So Alfred Morris is now sort of creeping into that discussion now of is he going to be relevant? Is that a guy? I still say it's going to be McFadden. I'm not shying off of that. I definitely think Morris still gets touches, probably 5 to 8, somewhere around there. And if Morris plays well and McFadden doesn't, then you'll see it become a timeshare. That's certainly a potential thing, but I don't think you want to be drafting Alfred Morris. I mean, that's a guy that you want to just leave to the waiver wire and worry about it when you have to worry about it, or if injury happens. Whatever it is, these guys are all short-term solutions. More to the point, why you invest heavily in bell cow running backs early so you don't have to worry about this. But yes, always good to see Carr out there throwing the two touchdowns. See him out there in action is good. Amari Cooper, their season a lot, I think, potentially is about Amari Cooper. If he finds that consistency, Amari Cooper in the first couple years in the league, he's up there in the all-time top 10 in terms of yardage for players in the first 3 years of their career. The problem is the inconsistency. The problem is 30 points or 3 points, and that's not something that weekly is going to help you. You're going to be frustrated by that. So I think Amari Cooper finding any kind of consistency is really going to make Oakland a tough out for anybody this year.
Amari Cooper is the guy this year that everybody's like, oh, yeah, he's great. I'm not really going to draft him because I don't like where he's going, but so I'm going to try and take him. I have not been able to get him in many drafts just because of where I positioned. I keep picking at the end of the round, so I have been taking a couple guys over him, like a Jordy or a Michael Thomas. But that's Amari Cooper this year. He's the guy that people are like, oh, he's a great player. Just, you know, he's a wide receiver one for sure. But I'm going to wait until somebody else drafts him and then see how that goes. So last night he goes 4 for 78 and a score. Obviously, that's something you want to see out of him, midseason form with Derek Carr. On the Cowboys side of things, Dez, one target, so you're not going to get much out of that. But the Dez Amari Cooper thing has been kind of a debate. I think we had a question yesterday, Demaryius Thomas, Dez, Amari Cooper. So I'll ask you that. I'll ask you the question first between Dez and Amari. Who are you going to take first?
Well, I'll tell you what. You know, I watched some of that Cowboy game the other day, some of the highlights there with Prescott and Bryant. I think that looked really good. And I'm not as sour on Prescott as a lot of people, so I'm going to still lean towards Dez for the consistency factor, because Cooper hasn't done it. If it was best ball, I might lean towards Cooper. I'll tell you what. I think it comes down to format. But weekly head-to-head, I'm going to lean Bryant by a hair.
It sounds good. So Jason Witten last night goes 6 for 74 and a touchdown. And Jason Witten has crept out of the tight end one conversation for the most part. But it's just kind of funny because you talk about consistency. Is there anybody in the league that's more consistent than Jason Witten? And now I'm seeing he's ranked 16th according to Fantasy Pros behind Austin Hooper. Speaking of people that have never done it, Kobe Fleener, Jack Doyle, Eric Ebron, Hunter Henry are all ranked in front of Jason Witten according to Fantasy Pros.
Well, some of those guys I would definitely, you know, I feel very comfortable ranking them ahead. And I think the problem with Witten is the lack of upside. I think we saw last year was consistency of target volume was there. That's a good thing. The problem is the conversions and touchdowns. That's not there. And I think that where you fall behind in tight end is that lack of ability with touchdowns. If you can get your tight end in the end zone, that week is the tight end one. And the fact that Witten has struggled to do that over the last couple of years, and who knows, maybe it'll get better this year, and all of a sudden Witten will be a guy that's added when people are disenfranchised with Ebron or, you know, not happy with how things are going with Jack Doyle. Maybe Witten is a guy that's added quite a bit. But right now, I think everybody realizes at this stage in his career, he's almost like just kind of a little possession-type guy who's going to get his catches, but he's not going to really impact your fantasy week.
And Marshawn Lynch, 2 carries last night for 6 yards, banged up, but doesn't appear to be serious. DeAndre Washington, 5 carries for 27 yards. I feel like I've heard DeAndre Washington talked about way too much on this network and elsewhere, but is he the guy that you want to handcuff Lynch to if you're a proponent of handcuffs?
No, I like to stay away from the handcuffs. I like to sometimes, you know, snipe in there and steal a backup from somebody who I think is going to be, like, Hunt would be a guy that I would have gone for. That ship has sailed, obviously, this weekend for most people, but that's more my preference. I don't like to waste the roster spot if I can avoid it. I'm all or nothing. I'm going for championships or I'm going home. And when you start wasting roster spots on guys who don't play, and I don't think Washington's going to play that much to make an impact. It's one thing to add a guy on a waiver wire, and yeah, I might be out of luck if a Lynch injury happens if I'm a Lynch owner, but what does it go back to? It goes back to the same thing. If you're making bad investments early on or not making investments in big-time running backs, these are the issues you have to deal with. I don't want to deal with those issues, so therefore, these kind of scenarios don't even play into my season because I don't worry about Marshawn Lynch being my number two. I've got other guys in there that have locked in, and if they go down, so be it. I've gone down with the best. I haven't gone down with this group that basically I know is going to be a cluster from day one.
Yeah, I mean, we had Michael Crabtree, 2 carries for 9 yards there. So Cordarrelle Patterson, four catches for 30 yards. I think, Joe, you're right. Trying to predict injuries is a slippery slope. So if you're thinking you got it all figured out because you got DeAndre Washington attached to Marshawn Lynch's hip, I don't think that's the way to go. We're going to come back to close it out on the Roto Experts in the Morning on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network, giving way to the Fantasy Football Lineup Lock Show after this. A couple of my good friends in studio bothering me, but we'll be back. closing out the show here this morning, live from Studio 34. It's a lineup lock show coming up next. That is with Corey Parson, Dane Martinez, Emery Hunt hanging out with us today, and then Tony Cincotta and Jake Seely will be Skyping in, calling in at some point in order to continue the discussion. So this is going to be our regular slot here on game days. I think some of the lineups on the lineup lock show may change, but that's who's here today. Emery, Corey, Dane, Tony, Jake. So in any event, because we need five people on one show. Anyway, moving on to the game action last night, Houston and New Orleans. Houston took a bagel last night, Joe. 13-0, the Saints get the victory. Deshaun Watson didn't look great, 11 of 21, 116. He throws a pick. Tom Savage going the Sam Bradford route, 10 of 16 for 79 yards. So check down city for the Houston passing game.
Yeah, and look, Watson's a guy that I've been sour on since the draft. I keep telling everybody he's a turnover machine. Anybody who thinks that that's the guy that's going to all of a sudden resurrect DeAndre Hopkins, I think, is wrong. And Savage, you nailed it. I mean, check down Charlie for sure, and that's exactly what he's going to be. And Tom Savage's best, you know, you watch footage of Savage in college, I think at Pitt, if memory serves, you know, at best, he's Alex Smith at the high end. Like, you know, he reminds, everything's got to be right. He's got to have time in the pocket. Yeah, he's got a little bit of mobility, but I don't trust him to do too much. And I'll tell you right now, if you ask me Amari Cooper or DeAndre Hopkins, it's a no-brainer. And that's another pairing we were talking about, where's Cooper going, and relative to some other guys on the board, I think that one's a no-brainer. And I've still seen Hopkins go above Cooper in many drafts.
So last night from Chase Daniel, 9 of 12, not that that matters, 11 of 15 for Drew Brees, 76 yards. Look, there's not enough hyperbole for Drew Brees. You're probably staring down the barrel of another 5,000-yard season. That defense isn't entirely fixed. That offensive line, I would, if I could have a chink in the armor on Drew Brees, it would be that the left tackle currently is a rookie. So they have some offensive line issues, but they've been able to get through it in the past when offensive lines weren't stellar. So Brees, if you wanted to take him as the first quarterback off the board over Brady and Rodgers, I wouldn't really argue with you, but he's typically going third, certainly in the drafts that I've been. I have Brees in two leagues. Just got him. I always tell everybody to wait, Joe, but there was in one league I was in with another group of experts, it was the sixth round, and Brees was there. And I was like, I'm not going to take a depth running back over Drew Brees.
Right, and that's where it's okay. The problem is when you're doing that kind of investment in the third, fourth round, that's tricky. Jake Seely had the same issue in a draft a couple weeks ago. Brees fell to the six. He's a guy that never takes quarterback. He said, I can't pass on Brees here because the value's just too good. And that's okay because Brees is still a positive. After Brees, they're all the same in terms of return on investment value. They're all right next to each other. And I don't know about you, Mike, but I can't wait to see what this running back situation plays out in the regular season between Peterson and Ingram and Kamara. I can't wait to watch this cluster. That's going to be a good time.
Yeah, it's tough because I've always been an Ingram defender, and I have him in a dynasty league still. And it's starting to slip away now. There's too many cooks in the kitchen. There always have been too many cooks in the kitchen, though, in New Orleans. So that's the hope that I'm holding on to. And Mark Ingram, despite only seeing barely over 200 touches last year, produced over 1,000-yard seasons. So, you know, when it comes to PPR leagues, I don't get caught up in rushing yards versus receiving yards. I just need all-purpose yards. And Ingram has been able to produce that in spades. And Adrian Peterson gets his first touch in like 5 years in the preseason. One carry, lost 1 yard. So, you know, that's it. We've gone through a lot of different games here. A Houston quarterback situation is so muddled. I think I'm with you, Joe. I'm scared of DeAndre Hopkins because I don't even know who's the quarterback right now.
No, and I think this defense is going to do what it did last year, which is carry them. And they almost carried them to the Super Bowl. I mean, people forget how close that game was against New England. But with any semblance of quarterback play, they would have been in the Super Bowl, not New England.
You're trying to say Brock Osweiler had a bad game?
I'm going to say that.
That's it for us. We'll be back next week on this game day edition of Roto Experts. It's the Fantasy Lineup Lock Show next on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.